Well, good morning. Go and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And then we're also going to be in Ezekiel 34. But John chapter 10 is where we're going to start this morning. But before we dive into our time in the Word, let's go afresh to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for being the one and only true sufficient rock. Thank you for being the refuge we can run to. Thank you for being the sword and shield in the midst of every battle. Thank you for being the good shepherd who came and rescues his sheep. And thank you, Lord, for being the victorious God incarnate who had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. Oh, Father, I pray that today you would reveal afresh to our weary hearts this morning the depth of your grace. Father, again, I plead as I know I need to plead more often, but Lord, I do ask, Lord willing, every Sunday, Father, would you please get this weak and feeble man out of the way? Father, I pray that the sufficiency of Jesus Christ would shine forth on display in such a way that there can be no question of your grandeur, no question of your worth, and no question of your success, and never one millisecond of failure. Oh, Father, I pray that today you would shine forth and put on display the very purpose for which you came, and that was to rescue your weary, your wounded, and your rebellious sheep. And so, Lord, I pray that everything said right now as we open your word would be for the glory of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, it's so exciting to be back with you this morning to worship our Lord together. On the front end of this message, let me give you a little heads up of what the next few weeks will look like, Lord willing. We are beginning a couple of standalone messages for the Easter season coming up. This week we will examine, as your bulletin shows, the Shepherd's rescue mission. Next week, while I, and again, as Glenn already said, some of our other men are at the men's retreat, Pastor Stu Johnston, a very gracious and good friend of mine, who I have known for a few years, an elder over at Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Mebane, will graciously and has agreed to herald the word to our body while I'm away. Then the following week is Easter, and we have a standalone message that morning as well. Then after that, I'd appreciate your prayers, as I have said before, as I seek the Lord's guidance on where we should go in our next series or what book we should study of the Scriptures. I trust the Lord to make that clear. So again, that is an overview of where we hope to be over the next few weeks. But for this morning, my hope is that the Lord would begin to stir our hearts in preparation for remembering the glorious hope that is the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that this morning, I want us to turn our attention to a few passages. Let's begin by looking at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18 is where we're going to go. But let's begin by starting and looking at verses 1 through 6 of John chapter 10. And as we do so, I want you to notice the sweet intimacy between Christ and those he calls his sheep. Look at John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now let's walk through what Christ is saying here. First, he begins with these two overlapping illustrations. He will point to the fact that the only way to truly be part of the sheepfold or the genuine shepherd of the flock is to go through the door. And the one who comes through the door is the authoritative shepherd of the sheep. He said that in verse 2. And here in verse 3, we see the tender calling of the shepherd to his own sheep. And that those who are truly his will hear his voice and will follow him as he leads, verse 4. In contrast, he says that his sheep will not ultimately follow the voice of a stranger, but flee, and eventually flee back to the shepherd for safety. But then notice what verse 6 says. It says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now this is not the first time the audience of Christ was confused by his saying. Obviously, we saw in our small group study through John, especially when we studied John 6 very recently, where many followers of Jesus stopped following him because of their confusion about his discussion of him being the true bread from heaven. But my mind goes to another time where the audience was much smaller, and they too did not have ears to hear what Christ was saying in that moment either. Just look back a few chapters. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Look at John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 8 to begin with. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, I won't go into all of the details, but here Jesus Christ is specifically speaking about water and the Spirit and the wind blowing where it wills as way of a point or a way to point to the prophetic teaching specifically found in Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 37. I would challenge you to read those on your own and see the connection there. But here, Nicodemus doesn't get the reference. And Christ points that out. Look at verses 9 and 10. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? So again, even the teachers of Israel didn't understand what Jesus was saying in regards to his reference in Ezekiel. Now, why do I point this out? Because here again in John 10, the audience, many of them Pharisees, missed his reference to another passage in Ezekiel as well. And this talk about shepherd and the true shepherds and false shepherds and sheep hearing the good shepherd's voice should have reminded the religious leaders specifically of Ezekiel 34. Look at how God describes the false shepherds or strangers and what they were doing to the flock of God. Look at Ezekiel 34, starting in verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Do you see the Lord declaring the rescue mission of the good shepherd? He says, I will rescue my sheep. Well, what did this rescue mission look like? Look at verses 11 through 16 of Ezekiel 34. And as we read this, notice the similar language we saw in John 10, 3 through 5, that stated, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, not one will be lost or left behind. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. And listen to what Christ is pointing to in Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 11 through 14. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Now, look back at John 10 in light of that. John 10, and see if that sounds similar to verses 7 through 10. Look at verse 7 through 10 of John chapter 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." These thieves described in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10, who parade around as shepherds over God's people, who did not feed the sheep, but burdened them with only that which brought death, as the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' days, cared nothing for God's sheep. Think about what had just happened in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, it's not in the notes, it's not up there, but think of what happened in John chapter 9. That's the story when Jesus healed the blind man, and the Pharisees called him to the court. And they were berating him about, look, who did this? Who did this? It couldn't have been this Jesus fella. It couldn't have been him. In John 9, the Pharisees are jumping all over the man who had been born blind and healed of his blindness. They tried to disregard this sheep and the fact that he was pointing to the true shepherd. But then we see Christ as the shepherd, that he cares for his sheep. And that care is infinitely abundant, as he says here. Look again at Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 16. Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 15. "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." The question is, how will this shepherd bring about this rescue mission? How will he bind the injured? How will he strengthen the weak? How will he destroy the fat and the strong and execute justice? How will this shepherd do this? How will he rescue his sheep? He will do this by allowing himself to be bound, by allowing the strong to think he is weak, and allow the quote-unquote fat to show him nothing but injustice. This is what Christ makes clear in John 10, 11 through 13. Look at John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Right away in verse 11, we see Christ clearly claim the role that God would have for his people as their good shepherd that Ezekiel had just declared. Then in verse 12 through 13, we see more fulfillment of those described in verses 1 through 9 of Ezekiel 34. And then again, we see this good shepherd tell us how he will perform this rescue mission that was promised in Ezekiel 34. Look at verse 14 through 18 of John chapter 10. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also. Ezekiel just had declared that in verses 11 through 13 of 34. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Usually, when a rescue is performed against an enemy, the rescuer often comes in with guns ablaze and shows his authority. And here, Christ does that, and he rescues his sheep. But the way in which this rescuing shepherd shows his authority is that he lays his own life down. And then the way he shows that authority again is he declared that authority he had to take it back up again. This amazing good shepherd promised in Ezekiel 34 is the good shepherd Jesus Christ. And how he rescues his sheep from their greatest enemy of sin and death was to lay his own life down and bear the wrath that all his sheep deserved. If you are in here this morning, and if you are in Christ, and you've heard the voice of the shepherd, and seen the sufficiency of his life, his death, and resurrection, may we stand amazed at the grace of our successful shepherd and his rescue mission. May we, as his sheep who've heard his voice, make much of the good shepherd. I want to head toward closing this morning with two pleas. I want to plead with two groups of people here this morning. First, if you are here today and you don't know Christ, maybe today, you have seen the sufficiency of this shepherd. You've seen him as the only door of the sheep. And you've seen that if you enter by him and him alone, you will be saved. John chapter 10, verse 9. If your heart is in any way awakening to that today, can I tell you good news? You've heard the voice of your good shepherd. Come to him. Repent and believe upon him and the sufficiency of his perfect life. The amazing fact that he took the wrath in bearing our wrath in his death. And his victorious taking his life up again in the resurrection. And see that as your only hope for salvation. He is the infinite good shepherd. Second, the second group I want to plead with this morning. For those who are in Christ, can I plead with you to be amazed at and sustained by the saving and never-ending, never-wavering grace of your faithful good shepherd? Look just a few verses later and see that if you have been truly rescued by this good shepherd, you will never, ever, ever be truly lost again. Not because of your strength to hold on to him, but his faithful strength to hold on to you. Look at verse 25 and 26 of John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10, starting verse 25. And Jesus said to them, I told you, and you do not believe, speaking to the Pharisees, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. Did you catch that very important language? And it should be scandalously gracious language that humbles us to the core. It did not say, Christ did not say what we thought it should say. Christ did not look at the Pharisees and say, you are not part of my flock because you don't believe. It actually says the inverse. It says, you Pharisees don't believe because you are not part of my flock. Because if you are part of my flock hear my voice and come to me. Do you, if you are part of God's flock, see what amazing eternity past love and grace God showed to you, and that before you even believed, you were part of his flock, that he was coming to rescue. If you believe today, it is only because of the fact that your good shepherd found you, one of his sheep. And let that dig down deep what our good shepherd is about to say. He will never lose or let go of one of his sheep. Look at verse 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Beloved sheep of Springs of Life Bible Church, take heart that if you are in Christ, meaning your shepherd rescued you, you can rejoice that he is keeping you. Your Father's grip is infinitely secure and infinitely safe. Let that stir us to rejoice and worship afresh our Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to allow the celebration of this Easter season to be a time of fresh reminders of his grace toward us. I don't know where you are this morning. If you are in Christ, it is my prayer that today afresh, maybe, you would marvel at your good shepherd. And again today, if you entered these doors running from and listening to the voices of all the strangers in this world, maybe today you're hearing the voice of your good shepherd say, come to me. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Run to the faithful good shepherd and be amazed at his grace to us sheep who did not deserve it. Let's pray. Father, it is my prayer and my asking that this morning, as your people, that the root of our joy is not that we had the ability to make ourselves sheep, but that we were sheep who had been scattered all across the planet. You, Lord, came and by your work of grace, Father, you rescued your sheep. And Lord, as your sheep, our hope this morning is not in our ability to hang close to the shepherd. But our longing to want to be close to the shepherd is rooted in the fact that our good shepherd said, He will never let us go. The voices of the strangers eventually will land, as they always do, liars and thieves who come to kill, steal, and destroy. But we, by your grace, have come to see that life and life abundantly is found in being close to our good shepherd. Father, may we, at the onset of remembering your life, your death, and your resurrection during this Easter season, maybe today you would stir us to a joyful heart with these deep reminders that you are not just a shepherd, you are the good shepherd who is faithful to rescue his sheep and keep those whom he has rescued. Oh Lord, may we praise your name today. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please stand as the singers come. Jesus Christ is your life. And you can leave here with assurance that as one of his sheep, you've been rescued by the shepherd, and your shepherd will never let you go. So may that bring us as his sheep to the point to long to make much of our good shepherd. For his glory and us, his sheep's deeper joy and abundant life in him. Let's pray. Father, every single one of us were running a hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost. And yet by your grace, you awakened your people to see the sufficiency of the Good Shepherd. The sufficiency of his life, the sufficiency of his wrath-bearing death, for which no one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. And then in his resurrection, he took it up again. Oh Lord, may we stand amazed by your grace. Lord, as we leave here as your people, may we long to, in word and deed, proclaim the excellencies of him who called us once lost sheep out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.